This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, we're having a fun time talking stuff about this golf scenario during the break.
Not that anyone asked, but I think I'd shoot around 210.
Yeah.
Just so everyone knows what they think I would shoot, over 200. I think on a good day, maybe 190, you know, like a really, really striped a few. Maybe 190, but 200, yeah. 210, goodness. Something like that.
We do have a mock draft sounder coming up later this hour. Someone on the text line said they hear the
first
sounder
Wednesday?
Outside. Yeah, that is true.
For second one, whatever it is.
It is going on right now.
So whoever fired it is coming
there
out
must
of the
be
mock
a mock draft somewhere that just got released.
Dane Brugler, you know, the beast. That comes out, I believe, today.
Is that out?
It did come out today, yeah.
It is. Maybe it's that one.
I've never, you guys both knew
they
about this.
They played that in the whole city. It's been a huge thing for like 10 years in the draft thing.
The beast.
300,000 words, I think is what he said. 300,000 words.
He does a profile on every single draft eligible player and does a full 7 round mock draft. So it's like his baby.
That's a lot of work, man. Thinking of putting in a lot of work, Kristen Ocero, Jay Binkley do that with Character Concerns, and their new mock draft is out. Bink is going to join us in studio today in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk some draft with him. They've got their draft special coming up tomorrow night as well, right here on 96.5 The Fan. So we'll get in plenty of draft today on the show. Don't forget our draft party is a couple Thursdays away. Thursday, April 24th, 2 Thursdays away. And we will be up at the landing in Liberty. Bink,
yeah, can't wait.
Chris, broadcasting live, $965 up for grabs, plus a Juwan Taylor autographed helmet. But let's talk some baseball. Jack Caglione, the board has been updated in here. Dusty just came in and updated the stats for Jack Caglione. He had another home run last night. He's got 10 RBI already in a handful of games.
Pretty good start. Actually, that entire team has scored 42 runs in 4 games. So they are, I mean, not kidding, they are scoring 10.25 points or runs per game right now as a team. So they're off to a pretty good start, I would say, the Naturals.
Yeah, 3-run home run last night from Jack Caglione. And yesterday,
468 feet. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's going to do that a bunch of times in the minors.
Yeah, yeah.
And
JJ said yesterday, he knows that that's how it works.
And when JJ Piccolo was on the show with us, we asked him just, what do they need to see at the AA level? It's not just the stats, but what do they need to see from him?
I think with Jack, I mean, it's really hard to, I guess, explain and understand. It's the quality of the bats guys are taking and who is he facing? You know, is he facing a quality, you know, pitcher that can make pitches similar to the pitches that he's going to be facing in the major leagues? You know, what's he doing against left-handed pitchers and what type of a bat is he taking there? We know he's got power. I mean, like for him to hit a ball the way he did in Tulsa, that's not surprising to us. But the very next day with 2 strikes, he hits a line drive to left center field. Another bat, he was down 0-2 and he walks. That's more important to us in trying to determine how ready he is for the major leagues than seeing him hit a hanging breaking ball 460 feet. You know, that he's going to do that, but it's how he handles his at-bats, what he does with 2 strikes. Does he recognize situations to get the run in because he's going to be in that category of run producer. But it's not going to be a small sample that we're going to make that determination. It's going to be a large sample. And, you know, we haven't determined, you know, is it 100 at bats, 500 at bats? We just have to have an instinct. We have people watching him every night. We have reports from the coaches every night. You know, there is another step for him to take, and that's called AAA before he even gets to the major league. So, that's what we're looking for. We want to see the quality of the bat, the consistency, because we know one thing, it's a lot harder here in the major leagues because the pitchers are the elite of the elite, and we got to put him in the best position to handle that. So when he comes up, he never goes back, and that's the best way to handle players.
It's pretty much inarguably the best conceivable start Jack can have.
Yeah.
He's hit two home runs. They were both over 460 feet. He's walked four times in four games. He's got six hits to go with it. His stats so far are nuts. Now, I'll say a guy like Carter Jensen's hitting just as good as him, and we're not going to bring him up as much. And there's like two or three guys in that lineup hitting just as good as Jack Caglione. And part of the reason I'm not going to bring it up is because, I'll be honest, it is hard to ignore a ball that almost left a stadium for the second time in 3 days. That thing went to the very tippy top of a humongous hill in right center field and there in Fayetteville, and it is loud and noticeable.
As JJ said, though, in the cut we play, like, they know the power's there. Like, that is that, like, they're not worried that Kenny hit a baseball 460 feet. That,
unless they change all the walls in Major League Baseball to 450 feet and he's the only guy who can get it out.
It's, and I didn't go back and look. The guy he hit the home run off of last night, was that a top prospect for the team they were playing? Or was he just I don't know, right? That's the kind of stuff that will matter in their evaluation, it sounds like, as well. Is he doing it off of what is supposed to be a stud for that team? Or is it a guy that's been in AA for 3 or 4 years and is kind of fallen off, right? I don't know the answer to that, by the way, but there's a difference there. And it's just, as you said, four games into it. And he said it's not going to be a small sample size. JJ Piccolo said it's not. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be 300 at-bats in AA, but it sure sounds like, Cody, it's not going to be 50 at-bats in AA and straight to the big leagues, which is what we get texts about every day.
The question I would have as it relates to this is, and this just applies to you and I, is there a reason why everyone is in a rush?
Well, because people are excited, like, right? And that's fine. People are excited. That's what it is.
And I understand that you're going to point out the times that, like, Soto got called up really fast, and there was a prospect this year that never played a single day in the minors, I think, and just went straight from college and played and all these other things. If the Royals were playing worse, I would probably feel different about it, I guess.
Like, if this was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. Why not get him up? Get him some big league at bats and see if he can do it. But the problem is that the last prospect they rushed, in my opinion, rushed up to the big leagues, his name was Adalberto Mondesi Jr. He came up as Raul, but Adalberto Mondesi, and he got rushed to the big leagues, and it went horribly. He was never ready for the big leagues. He was not successful in AA. He was not successful enough in AAA. And because of his talent, they just said, screw it. He can be a big league player. They put him on a World Series roster, gave him a bat in the World Series, the whole thing. And I just don't understand. I'm not in a hurry, because if they're going to be a playoff team and fight as a playoff team this entire year, if they still need the bat later, they can get it. If they were going to trade, like, the thing I love the most about it, let's just say they decide they need an outfield bat, gold with power. Not uncommon for a trade deadline acquisition. And I don't want to give up any more prospects. I want them to continue to develop people in the minor league system. I don't want them to give up Blake Mitchell or Carter Jensen or Kudina or any of the other guys who are in the top 10 of the system. Great. Then call up Jack. Save the draft picks, save the trouble, and get your guy. If it's that, then we're having a different conversation. But right now, I don't need to see him. The guy hit the homer off, by the way, his name's Cole, like Cole's the store, K-O-H-L.
Okay. All right. Is that his first name?
That's his first name.
First name.
Cole Drake.
Is he from Wisconsin?
I will say he is a lefty.
Okay.
So, like, that's always, lefty-lefty. I always feel like that's a little more impressive. Why do they name him Cole? It's fine. Why do they name him Cole and spell it like the store?
What's wrong with Cole?
There's nothing wrong with a name Cole, like Reagan's, when it's spelled like the store Cole.
That's why I asked. Is he from Wisconsin?
They wanted it to be unique. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good,
like, because there's some people who's, I think it was it Andrew Jones? A-N-D-R-U-W.
That one's not Jones. As offensive. That's just one letter different. That's not
Drew, D-R-U-W, it just looks weird.
Cole Drake is the 13th ranked prospect in the Texas Rangers system.
So that's who you hit the home run.
He's a 6'5", 220-pound lefty.
Yeah. A lot of people take an issue with your Mondesi comp, and I get it a little bit, because Mondesi injuries failed him.
But he wasn't a good big league player when he... I've watched it. Like, he wasn't,
injuries failed him.
But he wasn't a good enough player when he played.
At times, there were dude.
Oh, he showed some flashes, I mean, but like,
that doesn't matter. We all have, but like, you thought he was an MVP candidate one year.
I was dead wrong.
So, but meaning like a lot of it was injuries, what derailed his entire career.
Sure, but I would just say like once he got up to the big leagues, the rest of the numbers did not equate. Sure. Right, he didn't hit for a high enough average, a high enough on. He was a great defensive player, so I'd never, I guess, argue that. I think he played a really, really good, and he led the league in triples, I think, one year. So the speed and the athleticism. And all the stuff that existed, but they rushed him to the big leagues.
Yeah, and again, we keep getting texts.
He had one good year when he was like 22, probably.
Keep getting texts about like he'd be Renfro. If eventually they end up replacing Renfro, the first person that's going to replace him is going to either be like a Nick Gordon, a Drew Waters, a Tyler Gentry. Yeah, it's not going to be the guy that's gotten four games in Double A. That's all.
A fun four games, though.
They have. It's been awesome. And again, we're hoping to do something pretty special around that here very soon. We might be able to announce something on Friday.
As you guys remember, we went down to go watch Bobby Wood Jr. play in Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can work out something similar.
We've been working on this for a couple weeks.
I did not regret going down to see Bobby Wood Jr. play, although he did go over for the day we went down there.
That's right, yeah.
Hitless.
That's true.
Turns out it didn't affect the rest of his career. A player can go hitless. Like, for instance, Jack Caglione can go hitless today, and it's fine.
No, he never will, actually. He never will go hitless, Cody.
No?
Never.
He's just going to...
Never in Double A, he won't.
Didn't he go 0-for-5 in his second game this year? I think he did.
I don't know. I have no idea, man. And yes, I do want to see him play some right field in Double A eventually, but they haven't even started that yet, which should also give you a little bit of an indication of how patient they're going to be. That's all.
I mean, yeah. And I get the same thing everyone else said. Like, JJ, that clip we played, was when... He had just hit one, 400. He seems so unsurprised by it when he just hit one. I get it. Listen to the sound. That's a violent sound for a bat to make.
Yeah, that's insane. Just destroyed a baseball. 111
miles per hour off the bat at 468 feet. 2 days after he hit a different one, 463 or 5 or whatever it was feet.
Coming up in 7 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day. But we mentioned we're talking some draft as we're almost 2 weeks out now from the NFL draft. And if you follow some of our social media channels, you see we were asked our draft crushes that could go to the Chiefs in the... I thought it was the first round. Some people on the video gave like third round picks, but I thought it was a first round draft crush. Who is that for you guys?
Okay, so you already know Derek Harmon's on my list. That is an announced... draft crush. So I wanted to give a different answer today as I start finalizing my list. I'm up to about 4 or 5 now of players I would really like to see in a Chiefs uniform. I think we'll get to running backs maybe later on. Not today, but maybe later on in the week. This one might be a bit of a surprise. You know, I've been giving defensive linemen answers, and then my answer to this point has been Derek Harmon. Loveland, the tight end. Because
you're in love with Loveland.
I'm in love with Loveland. He's my guy. And here's the part of it that's going to surprise you. In doing some research on the player, and I really did. Like, I tried to look into it a little bit. I'm not claiming I watched all X's and O's or whatever. And in somebody else who I think evaluates talent well, Mina Kimes' opinion, she seems way. I actually think Colson Loveland's going to be just as good as Ty Warren in the league. And you can get him 15 picks later, 20 picks later. I think he's as good as Warren. I think he will be just as good in the league as him. And if I know that, and at the end of the first round, some people have Loveland in the middle of the second round, so I could be a trade back candidate. That's a player I've fallen in love with. I don't think necessarily it's a draft crush. It's not even one that I think is as realistic for the Chiefs because I'm not sure you can give up the value of the pick it would take in order to get him in Kansas City to do it. But it's like a position where I'd go off board or off list for where the positions are of a stronger need because I like the player so much. I'd be interested in having him in Kansas City.
Okay.
I think he's good as tight end, and I think he's 20 picks later. So tight end,
interesting.
Colson Loveland, so
as
far. Derek Harmon in love with him.
It's Tyler Warren.
Right there. It's a take.
For me, this is a position that we've talked a ton about, defensive line, edge rusher. I don't know if he'll be available here. At one point, like before this college football season started, some people thought this guy was going to be a top 10 pick. That is not the case anymore. But James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee, edge rusher, top 2 in the country in pressure rate last season.
I thought I saw he was number 1. Was he just 2?
I think it was.
Okay, I thought first, but no, go ahead.
Even better, but I thought it was top 2. But either way, same thing,
same
right?
Concept.
Same logic with it. James Pierce Jr., we know there's a short-term and a long-term need at that position. You get somebody that can come in right away and get after the quarterback. Yeah, there's a little bit of some off the field stuff people were questioning at one point.
Apparently, might be off people's boards. I know. Like, he might not.
Why
even,
you said
some character concerns?
Chiefs love that.
I don't know if they love it, but they don't. Yeah,
they don't shy away from it. It's weird. They're not afraid of it.
James Pierce Jr. though, I just think from a come in right away and be effective at getting after the quarterback. I think the fact that this was a guy that 5 months ago people thought maybe could have been a top 10 pick, and now he might be on the board at 31 or later. Yeah, James Pierce Jr.
It's weird because when you Google his character, like when you Google off the field issues, there's nothing really that comes up at all. It's just apparently there are severe character concerns, but there's nothing that has been reported, at least, like, hey, he had trouble with this or he had trouble with that. It was a tough locker. There was nothing that came out.
Yeah, nothing has come to light officially.
Yeah, which is kind of weird.
But he has fallen. He has fallen.
Oh yeah, he definitely has.
So it's not even public what the character concerns are. No, it's just like behind closed doors.
I wonder if there's just, you know, smokescreen stuff. The rumor, the thought was he didn't handle, I guess, an encounter with police well when he was 19 years old. I don't know.
Great, let him fall if you love him, right?
I mean, it is interesting because
not great that he didn't handle this stuff.
Because there's two
it slides out of the Chiefs. Great.
There's two edge rushers that have the character questions. It's James Pierce Jr. and then Mike Green from Marshall. Also, apparently, early on when he was in college, had a big problem. But mine's going to be Walter Nolan. I feel like it
that's
fits
the other guy that people mention a lot.
Him to go with Chris Jones and pair up with him. I think he already all by himself could be really good, but he learns from Chris Jones and continues to get better. I mean, he could be the heir apparent where as soon as Chris Jones is gone, hey, slide, like Walter Nolan is the expected guy to take over essentially what he did. Not necessarily to that level, but in terms of sack production from the defensive tackle spot, I think Walter Nolan is a guy that would really fit well and could also, just learn a lot in general and reach his full potential with the Chiefs.
Sorry, three names. Responding to an email, somebody was saying,
"Yeah, you're good."
Would love to chat about getting Drew in the Monday qualifier.
Yeah, this might happen. Are you ready? You better start.
No, I'm not ready.
You're going to the course tomorrow anyway.
We found out
Drew's working on the apartment and he wants to golf, which is cool.
I'm not ready to golf in a qualifier on Monday. I'm not mentally ready for that either. Like I know, but
get mentally ready because if this guy will put you in, you're playing.
You got one shot. No matter what field you're in, if somebody said you have an opportunity to go at the highest level or one of the higher levels of
I'll get it for you, seriously.
And embarrass myself?
Nah, come on, dude. It's for radio.
You can't tell us you're going to embarrass yourself. You just told us you're going to break 100 at Augusta. You're not going to embarrass yourself at Korn Ferry qualified.
Dusty said
you're, quote, a stud on the golf course.
You guys weren't listening to what I was saying because I said with a month preparation and on my very best day, I would break 100. I'm not saying I would do it right now. If I showed up to Augusta right now, no way.
But you're an 8 handicap right now. I kind of want to see where we are. So if this guy can get us in, I think we're all going on Monday. We'll talk to Speck after the show.
I don't know if the boss is going to let this happen, but I feel like we should just do our show from the qualifier.
No offense, but I don't want you caddying for me, Cody.
Who's going to caddy for you?
No, I want to caddy for
myself.
You're just going to self-caddy. Are you allowed to have a caddy?
I would call my brother and I'd make him fly up from West Palm. Dead serious. If I'm in the event, I'm calling my brother. I'm getting him.
What about the qualifier?
No, if you're in the event, but like, let me caddy for the qualifier and I'll make you a couple of deals so that you don't feel less stressed about it. One, I will very rarely recommend a club. I will help you with
wants to be in the background.
I'm saying I'll help. Like anybody else, it's always good to have an extra set of eyes on a green. So I will give you an opinion. You don't have to listen to any of it. And I will not, and I promise, I will not pick on you, make fun, nothing. I will be there. I will be there for you. I've got your back. I am there to help you.
I appreciate you.
This will not be in any way like I'm picking on Drew. I'm going to try to help you do your best on the course.
I appreciate the main reason that I say that though is that
I don't want you carrying your own bag. I want you to keep your energy.
Thank you. The main reason that I say this though is I'm not. You guys haven't seen me when I'm like if I ever play in a tournament. I'm very laser focused. I don't talk. Like I might not say a single word to you.
That's fun.
The entire round.
That's like, going to be tough for Cody.
That's fine.
I literally might not say a single word because I'm locked in. You're going to have earbuds in.
It's cool. I will. Whatever you need, Drew.
It'll be okay.
You need the caddy who's quiet because you need to be focused. I'll be the caddy who's quiet.
Can I just be on my phone live streaming on Twitter?
Yes.
And just be way off in the distance, but still following you and just whisper.
I think you keep your phone with a battery charge. And you do play-by-play. That's how we do it.
He's in the right bunker.
That's absolutely how we do it. Oh, man, I can't
wait. Looks to be laser-focused.
I'm going to place a call at 2 o'clock. We'll have an answer for you all tomorrow.
That's a long ways away.
Drew just threw his club in the air. Wow.
Thank God I'm
must have just realized.
That's a tough miss.
Thank God I am not the throw the club person. I'm very happy.
I'll
get
on the live stream with Golden and give a report after the nine.
You're going to leave me alone on the
front nine. I said a front nine after the nine when you're at the turn.
If you leave me to go do a video, I think I will carry my bag the rest of the way.
Okay. I won't leave you to do a video, I promise.
Caddy going to leave to do an interview.
Speck has texted. He says you guys can have the day off. Hey! If we can get Golden in the tournament.
Drew
in the tournament.
All right.
So, all right.
Let's get to the trash of the day.
Oh, my gosh. This is the trash of the day.
This takes us to some minor league baseball. No, not Northwest Arkansas. This doesn't have anything to do with Jack Caglione. This is trash of the day. The Jupiter Hammerheads, is that right? Down in Jupiter, Florida, I believe they're the Marlins. Double A affiliate? Is it double A or triple A affiliate?
Single A.
I mean, the Marlins might be a triple A team in their own right, so I don't know what this makes the minor league club. But
single A.
Single, this is A ball.
They don't even do low and high A anymore. It's just A ball.
Okay, this is A ball. There were 22 walks in a minor league game.
Excuse me?
And the announcer, who sounds like a kid that's just getting his first opportunity, you know, trying to take advantage of it, and he might be in a little bit of hot water. Listen to the play-by-play call of the 22 walks.
This is only my fifth season. I've been in baseball, you know, a little under a decade because of my college days.
Well out of college. Okay.
I've never written so many RBI walks in a book before. This is... Listen, I know that I'm supposed to be optimistic about our team here, but I mean, come on, guys. Like, I could go out there. Let me loosen up my shoulder. I'll go help things out because you got to put it over the plate. You got to give your defense a shot. You have not been given a shot all game. We're broadcasting for maybe two people right now. That's for sure.
Hey, these two people are thoroughly mentioned and entertained right now.
Next pitch, misses outside, ball four. Well, why not? 21 walks today. The payoff pitch from Reyes. Outside, ball four. So there's the third walk of the inning, the 22nd walk of the game, and that'll load the bases for Manuel Beltre.
This has been a night. I can't say it's been any kind. It's just been a night.
It's one of the nights of all time. That's for sure.
It's a historical night.
It's one of the nights of all time. Yes. This is a night in history. Meaning, I hope it never comes back.
I hope this guy doesn't lose his job for just destroying the team that
he's
calling the games for.
They want 22 people. He should be allowed to destroy them, right?
I mean, not in the way in which he was doing it. That's the problem. He said he could go out there. He said he can go out there and do better.
I mean,
and
is he wrong?
Audio.
Look, I'm not a professional pitcher. I'm pretty sure that if you made me pitch nine innings, I wouldn't walk 22. Like, maybe I'm just serving up meatballs and they just keep crushing it over the fence. But, like, walking 22 at some point is egregious.
Of course
it's egregious.
Don't throw
a second pitch. Just throw a fastball.
Of course
down the
it's egregious, but if you're the team broadcaster, you cannot be saying, I could get out of there and do better than him. Like, you can't say that as the broadcaster for the baseball team that's paying you. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, he prefaced it by saying, I'm supposed to be positive on the team.
I will
say. You know, he tried. He covered his ass a little.
If you want to, a lot of times there's people who, you know, start there and then they work their way up.
I think
you might have forfeited any shot that you have.
Yeah, it would not surprise me if he ends up getting fired or suspended. Like, you if you're paid by the team, you can be critical, and yeah, you can't sugarcoat 22 walks, but you can't be up there saying, well, I could just do better than these guys at the organization is having to come up through their system. That's a no-go on that one. Someone said that sounded like Logan. Our guy Logan Weber doing the broadcast.
It could have sounded like, but it wasn't him. Yeah,
a little bit. I could hear that a little bit. Mm. That is the trash of the day.
Oh man, I'd quit.
The random question of the day today is going to be obvious. By the way, it's going to be what can you do that is just as good as big leaguers and professional athletes? We started the day with the Drew making not making the cut, but breaking 100.
I don't think there's a single thing I could do against a professional. I don't think I could get
three
off.
There's plenty of people out there that think they can do just as good as professional athletes. Plenty of people.
I'd lose to all of them in every sport at every.
People
I wouldn't even be competitive in any of them.
I agree.
Yep.
There's a video of Alex and I playing basketball together. I don't think I'm getting a shot off.
Yeah.
Against the worst NBA. I'm not getting a shot off against the worst NBA.
You're
player.
Not getting a shot off against Kwame Brown?
I'm not getting a shot off of the worst Division I basketball player. Like, you know.
I don't even know who that would be. There's no way to even mention a name. You can't
it's
even
the
name
bench
drop
guy
anybody.
On like Doug Gottlieb's team. It's the 13th guy. It's the 15th guy on Gottlieb's team. That's probably the worst player in Division I based on record and everything else, right? For Green Bay.
Two and something? Three and something? They were really bad.
Bad.
That's my guy. I'm going to need him to be a guard, too. I'm going to need him to not be, like, significantly taller than me. He can't be the guy who gets 0 minutes, but he's also 6'8".
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be a little bit harder for you to, you know.
It'd be real slow.
Up next, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. One thing is changing atop the odds market for the Chiefs. We'll tell you what the heck's going on there. And one of the final mock drafts from this person before the draft actually takes place. We'll get into that next here on Coach.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
And cold. You never know when you walk into the building. This is what's awesome about our job. You never know. Like, we have an idea of what we're talking about, right? We put out a rundown. We know when we walk in the building, a general idea of the show. But then there's some days you wake up and never in a million years that I think we'd be talking about if Drew can break 100 at Augusta, which would then lead into potentially getting him in a qualifier for the Corn Ferry Tour here in Kansas City and us following him around on Monday. And here we are. That potentially could happen. So this is why, like, this is what's great. Every day, no plan at all when it comes to that conversation, yet here we are.
I'll be honest. If I went by myself on Monday, I think I would play immensely better if you guys were not there. I'm dead serious.
I know, but, like, you know, that's the part of, like, this
correct.
Is adding the Augusta pressure, you know?
Correct.
You'd feel
correct.
Pressure if you went to go play Augusta, even if you played your biggest round, because it's a chance to play Augusta, you know? Yeah.
If you do get in the qualifier, qualifier. I think you absolutely have to go to the course this weekend and get a practice round in.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
never played there.
We need to see if we can work this in. I've watched the tour videos. They have a course tour YouTube video. I've watched the video.
I've played it like a couple of times over the years.
It looks like a very nice course.
It is. Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
I will say this in fairness. I was actually planning to golf there tomorrow. Instead, went to a different course because they don't do a walking rate.
Oh,
I was
you got to get the card, huh?
I was a little bit.
The boss even said. The boss even said. He goes, "Hey, if he needs off Friday to practice, he can." I go, "He's already off Thursday."
Oh, Speck gave me the Friday off as well.
He was already off. He was already willing to give you Friday.
Wow,
he was already talking about it.
He's saying like, "If we can get you, okay." Look, I'm talking to the guy. I think today at like 2 o'clock, I will keep everyone up to date. We'll see what happens.
I'm gonna have to talk to my brother about this. He's gonna be like, "No way."
No, why?
No way. He's going to be shocked.
Hey, we'll see what happens, man. We will see what happens. Let's talk some Chiefs football, though. It is the Chiefs red half hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon, future Corn Ferry Tour golfer.
If he qualifies
on the show.
He gets to own us for the rest of the time. We can't make these jokes anymore.
Oh, for sure. No doubt. I hope he does. It's going to be epic if this happens. Yeah. But Kay Adams over on FanDuel Network was going over some of the odds and everything, and they were talking about the shifting in the markets a little bit. And at FanDuel right now, the Ravens to win the AFC are plus 350. The Bills are plus 360. The Chiefs now have the third best odds to win the AFC at 4-1. And then there's a big drop off before you get to Cincinnati, who's 9.5-1, followed by Houston 14-1, Chargers 15-1, along with the Broncos. I told you yesterday that we're going to, these are odds, but conversation wise, narrative, for whatever reason, everybody just thinks the Chiefs, because they got their ass kicked in the Super Bowl, that they're just not going to be at the same level, despite winning 17 games last year, if you include the two postseason wins, and bringing back a decent amount of the roster from last year. The questions still remain on the left side of the offensive line. I'm with you. But why is Baltimore Buffalo have better odds? What did Buffalo
Nothing
do that?
Nothing changed. The odds used to have the Chiefs as the favorite.
What did Buffalo do?
I don't understand. Nothing. I mean, nothing more than the Chiefs did, right? I mean, they lost some players. They brought a few in. The core of their team is similar. They were unable to get past the Chiefs last year. Their division hasn't gotten any better or worse at the moment. Maybe slightly better with Justin Fields. Maybe slightly worse with Justin Fields. Miami's in no different of a spot. It's still Tua and Tyreek and everyone else. The only thing that could change is a draft pick that maybe swings it in their way. They're picking low in the draft. Like, nothing's changed, and yet the odds have done it. So I guess the real question I have is, do the two big things usually swing the market? Sharp money or public money going in favor of things. Do you guys hate money? Because
no, I think the narrative,
no matter how many years in a row we've had to have this conversation, you can keep picking against the Chiefs to do it. But if you're, this is great news if you're a Kansas City fan. Now, right now, if you're telling me I want to bet the Chiefs to win the AFC, I'm going to get the third worst odds, not the worst odds. Okay, great. Thanks for bringing the number down for me a little bit. I appreciate it, because more often than not, as in like what, 6 of the last 7 years or 5 of the last 7 years?
5 of the last 6, yeah. Or something.
But, you know, 5 of the last 6 and 5 of the last 7 or 8, like whatever it is, I get to win that bet. And you're not even giving me the worst odds in order to do it. The Chiefs, I will still make this argument. The Chiefs have improved their roster more than the other two teams have improved their roster. And I mean that on aggregate, not just in the free agent signings or those things. The Chiefs will have Rashee Rice for an entire year, not knowing suspension, but he'll be healthy, presumably.
Maybe. Yeah.
Hollywood Brown missed the entire year, so even if they get him for half a year, it's more than they had. Xavier Worthy in year two. They're better at left tackle. Like, they are better in way more areas than the Bills and the Ravens, in my opinion.
Right. I still think the public perception is based off of what the narrative is out there right now around the Chiefs. So seeing that the odds now have the Chiefs slipping the third best, that makes sense. If you're not in Kansas City, people think that the Chiefs are done. They think their time as the top of the AFC is over. Now, one day, eventually, like the Chiefs have gotten
away. That will be true eventually.
One day. I don't think it's next year. Now, I want to see what they do in the draft and everything like that. But I don't know how you can be so confident, though, that like the Chiefs' run is just over. But that we knew that was going to happen after the Super Bowl with the way the result was. That is the lasting image in football fans' minds outside of Kansas City. They forgot that, oh yeah, wait, they won 15 games, won 17, including the postseason. And so people just remember how their offensive line got dominated by the Eagles, and now they think they suck. So that's what'll actually in a weird way be fun about next year. If you're looking for motivation and all that, heading into week one next year, there will be a lot of people talking and predicting the Chargers or the Broncos to win the AFC West as well. Look, if you want to pick the Bills or Ravens to win the AFC, like, that's nothing new. People have been picking that for year after year. Like,
but they should have worse odds than the Chiefs.
I think so, but the odds are, as you said, is sometimes where the money is going. And if the public narrative is that it's Baltimore's time, well, then it makes sense that Baltimore now has the best odds, even if we disagree with them.
I'm just, you know what it is I do think, like, for whatever reason, the Chiefs lose in the AFC title game this year and don't go to the Super Bowl again for the sixth time in 7 years. The people who come out of the woodworks to be like, see, I told you. You've been saying it for 4 years. You don't get to say, see, I told you, if you've been the person to predict the downfall of the Chiefs year after year after year. I guess the only good news about those ads is that they somehow haven't jumped the Cincinnati into the conversation, and they are deservedly a pretty far step back from the other three teams, because they should be, because they were last year and did not improve their roster in any tangible way, like in a big swing way, I guess, if that makes sense. I'm not saying they haven't made roster moves, but they essentially just brought back the same people they had and then said, okay, we'll do better here and we'll draft outside of that. The funny part about Cincinnati is post-draft, they'd be the easiest team to take a swing post-draft because they're picking at a higher spot. Maybe you could be like, ooh, wow, what a, you know, they got a steal at seven. What do they pick, 17, Drew? I don't know if he knows. You know, wherever they pick, 17, 16, maybe you think, wow, they got a good deal there because the Bills are picking one spot ahead of the Chiefs. The Ravens are picking, I mean, they're all picking the same spot. Two spots out of the Chiefs, one spot out of the Chiefs.
They were some of the final teams left, yeah.
Yeah, same boat. Yeah, I wonder whether or not, this is public money or sharp money. Like, who is fading? Because you and I, Golder, were talking about this? Before the Super Bowl, like in the AFC title game, do you remember how much, like, the sharp money again was all over the Bills and all over the Ravens to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs this last year?
Yeah, but a lot of it was still just the public, with the ref stuff that was going on in narratives, that their people got sick of the Chiefs, and so people were saying, screw it all. They were betting with their hearts and hoping,
like, sharp money
and
was,
hoping
was
that
Bengals
the Chiefs
Ravens
were losing too. Yeah, I mean, it's just that whole thing was more, I think, about people's dislike for the Chiefs and hoping that it was over and believing that the refs were going to screw them over. That's what we said, is like, if you think the refs are actually favoring Kansas City, well, then why not bet on the Chiefs because you think that they're going to win? That was the whole thing during the playoff run before the Super Bowl and everything like that. All right, that is a mock draft sounder.
It's not outside.
It's a Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. We already heard this, Drew. We already heard this outside like 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, I promise it's not.
30 minutes actually, ago, man.
I'm firing it. We're looking at Field Yates called it potentially Mel Kiper's final draft
ever. He's retiring.
Final mock draft.
Wow, he's hanging it up.
I mean, he never
said
ever.
He's out of the mock game.
It's weird. He never said ever, and this is the first in Mel Kiper.
How old is Mel Kiper?
In the actual mock draft, 16? Mel Kiper never mentions it's his final mock draft.
He's 64 years old.
Yeah, Field might know something that we don't, evidently, but Mel Kiper came out with a 2-round mock draft. It's not just the 1-rounder. He is upgrading to 2 rounds. And at pick 31, we've seen this name before. The Kansas City Chiefs select, according to Mel Kiper, Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from the Ohio State University.
Most popular name, if you were to do the mock draft consensus, has been this kid.
And in the description, he says, if Simmons didn't injure his knee in October, we might not be having this conversation because he was projected to be closer to the top 10. He has really good footwork and power, gave up just one sack over 19 career starts at left tackle, had given up a single pressure in 6 games this past season before the injury.
Long term, they still don't have a long term answer at right tackle, I don't think, unless you think it's Wanye after this season.
So a full project.
Jalen Moore is a 1 or 2 year option, could turn into a long term option at left tackle. I guess they could move him to right tackle. So you're going to go Josh Simmons, who's not going to play a lick of snaps in the regular season this year. You're going to have him just sit on. You're just going to have him sit and develop. And then next year, you're going to go on the season with a second year guy with no snaps at left or right tackle, and he's going to be your starting tackle. Okay.
I mean, I hope it works. I'm not saying they don't need to take a shot on tackle. It's just
not. But if you take it's an Ohio State player, so they're going to take a tackle and an Ohio State player. Two things that they just, those are going against two trends, I would say.
Well, tackle in general is. I looked up. I think maybe it was Arrowhead Pride who put it out, and the draft value chart. Right. So, like, the number of points we assign to each individual position. offensive tackle is like the sixth or seventh highest position of total point value they've drafted on the Chiefs. The other ones are the obvious ones, right? They spent a bunch on defensive end and defensive line in general. They've spent a fair amount on wide receiver, and they spent a fair amount on corner. The ones that you would expect that the Chiefs have consistently drafted, because like even on, maybe they haven't spent a bunch on first-round wide receivers, they've spent a bunch of second-round picks, high-value picks, trying to get wide receiver. They don't spend it all on tackle yet. I do think they need to draft a tackle. I'm just not pro doing it in the first round.
The biggest need, though? We said they can take, look, they can take best player available, and maybe Josh Simmons ends up being that for the Chiefs on their board. We'll find out. I just think still, with the way the draft is set up right now, the deepest positions are what? Defensive line and running back, and tackle's actually not deep. And so if they're convinced that this is the last tackle they could draft that actually has a chance to be anything, then yeah. I guess there's your argument to take him at 31. Like if you think that the rest of the guys we could draft in the second or third round,
and you had to sign more because you needed a safety net in case Simmons wasn't available at 31. They always liked him there, maybe even as high as 25 or 20, because that's the other part. If I'm taking Josh Simmons, if I'm taking a tackle that I think is going to be a tackle in the NFL, I'm not waiting to 31. Too risky. Way too risky. I'm not getting that guy necessarily there. I got to go up a little bit able to secure kind of the future there.
Who's the tackle that everybody's going to be wrong about in terms of sliding? Because this time last year, everybody thought Kingsley was going to be the first round pick, and he was still available when they came back for the second round.
Was that other Ohio State guy that went Kingsley, to like the fourth? Remember DeJuan Jones?
Plenty of mocks. Yeah. Yes.
He like sank
out of Ohio State as well.
Both those guys, people had as first rounders, and they went much later. So who is Simmons that guy that's all of a sudden going to be available at pick 30 in the second round as well?
Maybe because of the injury stuff, because
he missed 10 games last year. His comp, if you guys remember from Lance Zierlein NFL Network, was DJ Humphreys.
Which, if you're getting, Pro Bowl DJ Humphreys, I don't see any reason not to think that that's not the case or not worth the risk.
The second round pick for the Mel Kiper has running back, new name, Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. His reasoning for it basically is Johnson could entirely revitalize the run game, which again, the Chiefs had fewer than 10 yards, 33 times, or no, had fewer runs for at least 10 yards. They were the fewest, 33, 10 plus. He thinks that Caleb Johnson potentially could bring a spark to the run game, if you will, again. We know how the Chiefs don't necessarily. It's weird, though. He's at Iowa, so the thing, he ran for 1,500 yards and 21 touchdowns. Yeah, because that's all Iowa does. You know, I think that it's hard to evaluate those players where they run the ball a excessive amount of times where, the numbers look great.
He was the nation's top running back last year.
That's how good the draft is. He will be available in the second and third round, most likely.
His comp is Tyler Allgeier, the former BYU running back that's down in Atlanta.
He's more like Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt than he is flashy. Like, he isn't Devin Neal. He's not Omarion Hampton. You know, he's more of a big guy, bruiser, I guess, if you will, at running back.
Here's why I would be surprised if the Chiefs take him. Here's why. It's one analyst's opinion. This sentence stood out to me, and we know how vital this is in the Chiefs' offense. Quote, his three-down value takes a hit because of his struggles in pass protection. We know you are not getting on the field on third down as a Chiefs running back.
Protect
your quarterback as a pass protector.
That's another reason why Travion Henderson makes so much sense, because he was elite in pass protection at Ohio. I know they don't take Ohio State players, but he was freaking good.
The one thing is they don't need him to be a three down back yet.
No.
They're not going to start there. That's going to be somebody else. They're definitely not going to start there.
Is he slow?
I'm not sure what his 40 time was. All I've got is the mock draft up. If you look up his profile, then it should tell you if he even ran it.
Caleb Johnson. 4.57.
Not the
speed. Not 20, for running back,
athleticism not. Score at the combine. Running back ranked 27th.
Yeah.
Big dude.
Gross. Big second round pass.
Again, his stats look good, but they run the ball. Talked myself out of him too much. Yeah.
He will not be on next week's draft crush list for me. He's officially off of it. I'm not looking for some guy who barely moves. Not interested in that regard.
He's not what the Chiefs need.
The GMs of this show say no, okay?
Yeah, we've decided. Sorry, Brett. If you're listening to the show right now, we are not interested in Joseph. We do not think he provides enough.
Johnson.
Johnson, sorry. I couldn't get his name right. We're not interested in Johnson. He is he's too slow. He's too slow. He sounds like, well, like part of it is, why are you taking a guy with that level of athleticism in the second round when this draft is flush? Like, if you want, like, kind of a bigging, bruising back, that guy's available in the fourth, fifth round. You can take two backs if you're desperate to try to, like, get that style of back in your system, too. I understand they have to take a running back. They don't really have anybody in long term.
If you're nervous about the picks, you probably shouldn't be too nervous based on the mock draft. In fairness to Mel Kiper, he was the 16th most accurate mocker last year.
It's not bad. 16th? That's, you know, out of how many? Out of how many?
I don't know, 50.
If it's out of, well, that's top third.
Not 16th, though?
I don't think that's, it depends on how, if it's out of 18, it's not great. If it's out of 450, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I need to know out of how many mockers, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know for sure.
Like, that depends, you know, that changes the numbers a little bit. I do think the number one, as you mentioned, the number one most common pick is offensive tackle in all the mocks across the board. And I know you said Arrowhead Pride was tracking that, but it's like, that's pretty consistently been.
In some way, shape, or form, yeah.
Where did he have Ward going? Sanders. Those are the guys I'm like, every Ward one, I'm assuming everyone's agreed now. Ward's one.
Yeah. Cam Ward, Tennessee. Travis Hunter goes two to the Browns. Abdul Carter, the Giants at three.
Shador goes to the Saints at nine.
Genty goes to the Raiders at six. Yeah, Shador to the Saints.
I actually kind of feel like Genty, Raiders. Like when I fill out
Colston Loveland, 14th overall, Cody.
Damn, to the Colts. 14th? I've seen him anywhere between 14th and 45th. I got no idea.
You've seen him that low.
He doesn't have my guy, James Pierce Jr., going 31. He has him going right to the Eagles right after the Chiefs.
Oh, that would make you sick, wouldn't it? Because you know that they would have gotten it right. The second they take a defensive lineman, you know he's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So you just immediately feel bad about it based on the way they turned him around.
Yeah, Jackson Dart going to the Rams.
In the first round?
No, yeah, 26.
You know, and I kind of feel like the Rams are taking a quarterback now. Right after Sean McVay said, I haven't done much research on quarterbacks.
I did see
the quote. You know what? I'm sure you haven't, Sean. The second he says that, don't you believe him less?
For sure.
You know, you're like,
He also has Luther Burden going to the Patriots at 38.
Actually, really, really good pick.
38. Damn, that would
be a really good
pick
though, if you think about the situation. So they brought in Stephon Diggs on a deal. And,
way too much of a deal. They overpaid.
Yeah. And their wide receiver room is not great, but so Burden could step in right away. Second year quarterback and Drake May. That's an interesting spot for him.
In terms of other division stuff, Quinshon Judkins going to the Broncos at 51.
Okay.
A guy that. So that means the Chiefs would have to deal with Judkins and Genty.
I actually think Genty to the Raiders is maybe the best fit for the Raiders at that pick.
That seems like it is the pick. Unless Travis Hunter's there, then it's Genty. It just feels that way.
Part of it is you got to think of it this way. Pete Carroll is 70 years old. Pete Carroll is in a win-now situation. That's why he went for Geno Smith. That's why they made this. Like, he is not about trying to, like, build a thing up for a couple of years. And if you're trying to win now, Genty is the most logical pick. You do Bowers, you do Genty, you make your wide receivers work, and you try to score now, and you try to win now. You got Max Crosby on the defensive side, you build around him, but that's the cleanest path to win now is be one of the best running teams in the league with Geno Smith, have Brock Bowers, make him kind of difficult, great athletes, and like that's why I feel like Genty's going six. Like right now, my prediction is he's going there, unless I start hearing something else rumor-wise, I guess, in the draft stuff as it leads up. Yeah. We have our draft party coming up 2 weeks from Thursday at the Landing in Liberty, where if you make the correct selections and to the correct teams, you can win $965 plus an autographed Chiefs helmet. I'll say right now, I'd put Genty at six to the Raiders.
And a meet and greet with a Corn Ferry Tour golfer.
Yeah.
So could happen as well. We might have a little station set up. Drew might be signing autographs by the time this thing happens too.
You know, a guy who attempted to qualify for the Corn Ferry Tour. He will be available for autographs.
I'll be handling Drew's marketing efforts.
Nice. Yeah, you handle marketing.
Deacon Caddy. I'll handle the marketing efforts.
I'm going to carry his bag. I'll dress. Do you want to match colors? You know, sometimes Caddy and golfer do that.
Are you going to go bright orange, like Cincinnati, the polo?
Do you want to color coordinate? I think we should probably color coordinate. I'll put my name on your back, but like I just need to know if you want his name on your back. Yeah, sorry. I'll put Nixon on the back.
It'd be funny if Cody had one just said Tap. Dude, you're a Caddy. You don't get a name.
My brother actually has a plaque that says Tap from a Masters thing because his kid was a Masters. His kid was a Masters caddy.
It would be hilarious if
Halloween.
As part of the bit, if after every single shot that I hit, you go, Road to the Masters.
It's the road to the
Long
Masters.
Long journey, but we start here. Corn Ferry Tour qualifier.
Do you want to color coordinate?
I don't care. How about this?
I have
so many polos. You just give me a color that you want to wear, and then I'll...
Perfect. Perfect.
And pants-wise, I've got beige pants. I've got tan. I've got burgundy. I've got gray.
You're going to keep your energy up. I'm going to carry that. I don't know what kind of... You're going to have to put the clubs in the bag you want. I'm not choosing
You should wear shorts, by the way. Do not wear pants, because it's going to be hot on Monday, I think, or it's going to be warmer. I'll be wearing pants.
Okay. That's the professional in you, you know? I'll wear shorts. I'll stay comfortable.
Your calves are going to be getting a workout. Are you sure
Monday, 67, Drew. You better get...
Oh, nice.
Your caddy...
The Super Bowl.
By the way, your caddy doesn't check the weather. That's not a good sign for you. You better be... make sure you got the weather
figured
out.
Hold on. This is my first caddy job. I will... Mm-hmm. I am not kidding. If this thing happens, we go out on Monday. Sunday, I'll be on the course. I'm going to walk the whole thing, but we're going to take some shots, you know? I'm going to try to get a sense of where the course is.
Since the boss has agreed to give us the day off Monday, if you get into this qualifier, I know you're going to be locked in, but you're going to have to provide us with some live access on social media. So every couple holes, you're going to have to agree to give us some comments. I know you want to be locked in, but you have to deal with it.
It doesn't have to be like, we don't have to overkill it, but you do have to give the media some access. Professional golfers don't necessarily have to do that. You know, Rory was just talking about that.
That's right.
Yeah. It'll be like when every now and then they have to give some access. They pop in the AirPod, of course.
It's not the same, right? Like they don't have to.
I'm going to feel obligated as I'm four over par or whatever, while the other guys are nine under are about to win the tournament. Like, yeah, everything's going great.
You know? I can't wait. I want to meet the person who you're paired up with. We got to ask him ahead of time.
Poor guy.
We got to ask him ahead of time if he's willing to like give us a little interview access as well. We'll get him on the show after.
Hell no.
Can he come in for the fan club? We're not bugging that guy during his round.
We are not bothering the other individuals.
Could we ask him if the following Friday he'll come in for the fan club?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
I think if he's in town.
Well, yeah.
Correct. Fair. It's a very good point.
I mean, a lot of them will be local. It's a qualifier.
All right. It's a very good point.
Up next, let's get to what's trending, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the best thing from last night's Royals game and who is already in midseason form.